Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Well, our world is in a fast-paced change, and my guest today is going to be addressing some things that so many of us get so anxious about. Well, sit back, relax, and I think you're going to be given some insights and tips that my guest, Neil Donald Walsh, is very noted for being able to share. His book is titled, When Everything Changes, Change Everything. In a time of turmoil, a pathway to peace. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here with you again.
Neil, I was intrigued with the timing of your book coming out. And I know, and so many of my listeners are so familiar with you, you're the author of Conversations with God. It's a series of books that you've done, six of which reached the New York Times nonfiction bestsellers list. You have talked with people around the world, yet you've had all this success, and here you are with a book, When Everything Changes, Change Everything. And we certainly are in a tremendous time of turmoil, and this is around the world. It's not just in the United States. Why did you decide to put this book together? The timing on bringing it out is just perfect.
Well, I thank you for noticing that. I have to tell you that the idea was my wife's. I had just finished publishing Happier Than God as an adjunct to the Conversations with God series. And one day, in July, just about a year ago, July of last year, M was in a bookstore with me. We were at the airport in Phoenix, Arizona. And I was sitting on a bench waiting for our flight, and she said, I want to go check the bookstore out. She came out of the bookstore in a few minutes, and she said, you know, I just noticed something. I said, what? She said, I just noticed that all the books in there about how to be happy, how to be joyful, how to have everything you ever wanted, how to manifest your reality, how to be this and that. And she said, but there's not a single book in there, not one book in the spiritual section about how to deal with the travesties of life, the tragedies of life, the difficulties and challenges of life, how to negotiate life when things aren't going so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's interesting. She said, and there's not a single book in there about how to deal with the coming changes that I'm sensing are going to be occurring on the planet. She said, I'm really seeing a lot of things going to be happening here, financial changes, spiritual changes, changes in relationship, in the way we work and live. A lot of stuff is shifting and changing all around us, and I don't see one book in there about how to apply the highest spiritual principles to that process of sudden, abrupt change, unwelcome change. And so I said, well, you're right. I don't think there are a lot of books out there like that. She stopped the conversation, looked me square in the eye, and she said, that's the book you need to write. You need to take the Conversations with God material and make it practical and make it applicable immediately right now in this time of change. And I said, I really immediately realized she had something there.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at her and I said, honey, you've just given me my next book.
Uh-huh.
And I started writing it, and then I put it aside for a few months. That was in July. I didn't start writing it in earnest until February, and I finished it in about four or five weeks. And it came out at the end of May.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that was the genesis of it. And I think it came out of my wife's awareness that she looked around that everything was shifting all around us. And by golly, within two or three months, in fact, we had really the height of the financial crisis. People were losing their homes. People were losing their jobs. Even some relationships were being stressed to the breaking point because of all the other stresses, and we were beginning to see changes elsewhere as well in our society. The gay marriage movement, the change in our political leadership in Washington, the first black president ever, shifts and changes in Iraq and in Iran and in Israel and in the Palestinian areas, changes in Europe. Actually, wherever you look on the planet, everything is changing, and she called that one very, very clearly. And so I'm very glad that we've had a chance to take this book, which is a wonderful condensation. It's a distillation of the extraordinary messages in the Conversations with God books, which cover around 3,000 pages.
Mm-hmm.
That we distilled it down to about 300 pages, down to about 10% of the original volume, and took the most immediately applicable teaching messages of Conversations with God and put them in a form that focused with high intensity on the process of unwelcome, unbidden, unexpected change.
I'm glad you said those last few words. So often we get trapped in thinking that, gee whiz, we've maybe attracted something, or we're just drowning, and we just think we just don't have a chance. And the reality is, change is always happening. It has never not happened. But one of the points that you bring out in your book that I've been very much aware of for many years is the speed with change. And you can have something shift in literally less than 12 hours, 10 hours. I mean, there's been various circumstances in life that people go through, maybe health conditions or whatever, that they say, wow, 24 hours ago I was fine, now I'm really sick. But we're seeing changes on all levels that, because of the technology, the capacity of communication, we'll have things go around the world in an hour via email.
Not only is change happening rapidly in the terms that you use, that things are shifting in people's lives virtually overnight, you get a notice, and in fact you are losing your home, or you get a pink slip, and in fact you are losing your job. One day you're employed, the next day you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are things changing rapidly in that sense, but things are changing rapidly in another sense. That is, the space between the changes is closing up as well.
Yes, very fast.
So that what we notice is that the whole process of changes in our life is speeding up, and change is increasing both in volume as well as in intensity and speed. And we're not getting a lot of specific instruction, not in our schools,
mm-hmm.
not in our churches and synagogues and mosques, and not from our religious and clerical community. We're just not getting a lot of people saying to us, here's how to apply the highest philosophical and spiritual principles to the process of change. In fact, the last book that really directed, I mean intensely directed its focus on this subject, was a book written about 35 years ago called Future Shock by Alvin Toffler.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had a book directing its attention to this phenomenon since then, at least not as specifically as this one does. So I'm very excited about it, and I think it will give people some hands-on tools, very practical tools, that can be applied immediately, even as they're reading the book, to assist them as they're facing this sudden wall, this seawall of change that's occurring in their lives.
You have nine changes. One of the nine changes that can change everything, the very first one is a very significant one. In fact, it's being addressed in my newsletter this month. Changing your decision to go it alone. The whole perception of that chapter and being aware you don't have to go it alone and you are not alone is quite significant. How did you put that together? What made you feel comfortable with how you were presenting this to people?
Well, you know, I looked at my own life. Let me back up for our listeners and tell the listeners that, as you said, the book offers as a pathway to changing the way change is changing you, and that's a little kind of a catchphrase that I use in the book. What we need to do is change itself. Change the way change is changing you. And so I do offer, in fact, nine changes that we can make that can change forever. And you're right. The first one is change our decision to go it alone. How I approach that and what caused me to write it in that way or even think about it is my own life. I looked at my own life and I realized that until very recently, until the past several years, most of the time when change occurred in my life, I tended to self-isolate. And in fact, the bigger the change, the more I self-isolated. So that if I lost a relationship, as I lost a marriage through divorce several years ago, and I recall that was obviously a huge shift in my life, and I just self-isolated. That is, I hung out with myself and nobody else. I wouldn't go out at night. I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't see anybody. I didn't socialize. I just kind of hung out in my own home, licking my wounds, as it were, being totally by myself. I didn't even have the sense to go see a pastor, a rabbi, or a counselor. I just thought, I can deal with this myself. And of course, I just exacerbated the problem completely. Even my friends were saying, well, Neil, what's going on? And I wasn't, of course, they knew about the divorce because they're friends mm-hmm. of mine, but they wanted to know, how am I doing with it? And I didn't want to get into it, didn't want to share it, because I had been raised in an environment which said, you know, you don't throw your troubles on somebody else, stiff upper lip, keep on moving forward, and don't be a crybaby about it. So that's where I was with that. But here's what I realized. Again, you asked where I came up with the way I approached it in the book. I realized something quite interesting about how my own life works. Many times in my life, dear and close friends of mine, and because of my peculiar line of work, even some total strangers, have come to me at times when they have been distressed and upset about something that's changed in their life, and they've come to me and they've asked me, can you give me some advice, some counsel, some help of some kind? And I can recall those incidents in my life, and I also remember something quite interesting. Whenever I gave them help, and when they've looked at me and said, boy, you know what, I'm really glad I came here. Thank you so much. This has been a great help to me. I don't feel so alone, and I don't feel without resource. Plus, the suggestions you gave me are really quite good. Thank you, Neil, for being there for me. As they've walked out of my house, I can recall thinking, I feel so great. Wow, that just feels so great. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be there for that lovely friend, for that lovely person, in the way that I was. And then I realized when I was writing this book, you know what? If I feel that way, when someone comes to me for help and I can be useful, what makes me think that other people wouldn't feel exactly the same way when I go to them?
Mm-hmm.
A thought I hadn't considered previously for some reason, because I'd been trained, don't spill your troubles on someone else's table.
Right.
So I never really, but then I thought, wait a minute, I actually give them a gift when I give them a chance to show up in that way. And I began to think that through and write that out in that chapter you refer to, because I wanted to find a way to give people permission to, in fact, not go it alone. And then I created an entire mechanism for that. I said, even if you don't feel like you want to go to a close friend, here's what you can do. Wouldn't it be interesting if there were a website, an entire global community of people from all over the world who are standing by, ready to assist you, ready to give you advice, ready to give you counsel, ready to give you succor, ready to be there for you in lots of ways, if you were just there to ask and to explain what's going on with yourself and to share with them and to ask if they had any insights or help that could be of assistance to you. So I created such a website. It's called changingchange.net. And if you go to changingchange.net, you'll find there now an entire global community. Already over 800 people who have signed up to be on that website, who are assisting others and chatting among themselves in a wonderful environment that allows people to not feel quite so alone when they're moving through the changes with which they are currently confronted.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful, Neil. Your M, as you call her, has just done a lovely job with her poetry, and I wanted to share one of the pieces that is in the book. In fact, it's up in the front part of the book. Do not pretend that the longing has not also lived in you, swinging like a pendulum. You have been lost and thieved like a criminal, your heart into the darkness, but life is tired, deep friend of going on without you. It is like the hand of the mother who has lost the child. And if you are anything like me, you've been afraid. And if you are anything like me, you have known your own courage. There is room in this boat. Take your seat. Take up your paddle, and all of us, shall row our hearts back home. She has an eloquent way of expressing her thoughts, and you have pieces of her poetry throughout the book. And I think that that adds a whole different dimension to what you have written, because she gives like a flip perspective that I think is very complementary to what you've done.
Thank you for noticing that. Em is an accomplished published poet in her own right, and she was very gracious to allow me to use her previously published work
mm-hmm.
in this book.
Mm-hmm. I think it's marvelous. You have in here a section on the brain. Let's go into that a bit, because it is so significant. It is that sending, receiving station that all of us are endowed with. They're just beginning to scratch the surface of understanding how this brain can do things they didn't think were possible, like renew itself. Why did you take time to bring that into this equation, Neil?
I have a friend named Dr. Il-Chi Lee, who is extremely well-known in Korea, somewhat well-known in the United States, who has made a life history, a life study, I should say, of brain history. She has done a life study of how the human brain has developed and how it works, and of brain science in general, the mammalian brain, the reptilian brain, and the human brain. And he has shared with me much of what he knows about that, and I have come to an awareness that this is a key component in understanding how the mind works. That if we don't understand the mechanics of the brain, I don't mean at a deep scientific level, but at least peripherally, if we don't have some broad-based awareness of how our mind is actually functioning and why it does what it does, how it works the way it works, if we don't have that understanding, that we are really moving through life with one of the biggest tools we could possibly use to create our lives left on the table rather than in our hands in a useful way. So I realize that if I included just a little bit here, there's not a huge section of the book, but I guess the better part of a chapter, dealing with the insights that I have gained from Dr. Lee and other friends of mine, because his work has inspired me to look at the work of others, about the human brain and how it functions in connection with the creation of our reality. I thought, you know, if I can just pass this on to my readers in 20 or 25 cogent paragraphs, they're going to walk away from this book saying, well, you know what, this is really a practical, hands-on, very well-crafted and very useful book, as opposed to some of the other books that I see out there, without being critical of any particular author, but that are just broad-based, general, spiritual aphorisms that are very lovely and comforting in the moment, but don't leave us with lots of tools in our hands. So this book talks about the difference between the reptilian brain, the mammalian brain, the human brain, in very simple and direct terms that allow us to understand how we got where we are, where, in fact, we are right now, and how to move to the next level of evolution in using the mechanics of the mind and the system of the soul conjointly to better create not a distorted, but, in fact, an ultimate reality of our own choosing.
I want to share another one of M's writings. We are light babies, golden grace, wings meant to fly. We are delicate and pregnant with goodness. We are each made of such a quiet that the entire universe can hear us. There is only the unfolding, the opening ever happening. All else are thoughts. Lollipops for the mind. We are light babies parading as humankind. I thought that was charming. I really enjoyed that. Her use of words, it's just delightful.
Yes, and if anyone wants to hear more of that or to be more exposed to her wonderful work, they can go to her website, which is M. Claire. It's E-M-C-L-A-I-R-E, mclairepoet.com, and they'll find her entire collection of poems, which I think they'll find very wonderful. She's a marvelously insightful poet.
You mention in your book that there are six things that create reality in this physical experience.
Yes.
And they are events, data, truths, thoughts, emotions, and experience. And, of course, anyone would say, in a logical sense, well, if any one of these change, absolutely everything is going to be affected. What do the emotions have to do in this play of experience?
Well, I think it's the final component. Our emotions are really are the final component before the creation of our experience of any event. All reality begins with some event of some kind, whatever the event might be. Something occurs in our lives, and that event starts a chain reaction in the mechanics of the mind, leading ultimately to an emotion, which then produces an experience from which emerges our reality of that event. And the reality may be, and usually is, by the way, in most cases, in my own life, it's certainly been true, and I observe it in others' lives as well, that almost always the reality is a distorted reality, that it is not actually what's happening, but rather what we imagine is happening, what we think is happening, and what we have distorted in our reality. The trick is to elevate our consciousness from a distorted reality at least to the observed reality so that we can objectively see what is actually going on, and then ultimately to what I call the ultimate reality, which is the place where masters reside. And by the way, a place that many people visit from time to time. All of us have been there now and then. It's a matter of sustaining our presence in that place. So the role of emotions is critical and crucial. It stands between our thought and our experience with regard to any event in our lives. The difficulty is that most people are not aware that emotions are things that we're choosing. The average person believes, and I believe for many years myself, that emotions are things that are just simply happening to me. And I would say to people, it's not my fault, I just feel that way. You want me to deny my feelings? You want me to deny my emotions? That would be telling an intellectual lie. I'm not going to deny my emotions. Except I finally met a master who said to me, Neil, no one's discussing denying your emotions, but how about trying to create them? How about trying to choose your emotion deliberately and intentionally? I said, well, if you can show me a way to do that, but usually I'm overcome with emotion. Emotion happens so fast, it's like lightning. It's just there all of a sudden. I don't sit there and think about what emotion I'm going to have. An emotion is just something that happens to me. And again, my master said, no, no, it happens not to you. It happens through you. And when you understand the mechanism by which all this occurs, you will in fact get a hold of a handle of an enormous tool that can change your reality forever. So he taught me all about that, and his teaching is what is included in this book as well.
I loved one section of your book where you were talking about your father, and when you were growing up, he would, when he was scolding you and you were 9 years old, you recall that, he said to you, son, get your head out of the clouds. And you'd say, you heard so many times through the years the comment, what are you, out of your mind? And you took that and you shifted it. And you said, yes, you need to get out of your mind. And I thought that was a very interesting perspective to present, because stepping outside of the box would be another way of saying the same thing, but in a different verbal visual. But this, I think, was a very good point to bring out. We do have to step out of mindsets, and that's not always easy to do.
It isn't always easy, but it is always beneficial, because the mind is limited in terms of the data that it holds. The mind is only capable, as magnificent as the mind is, by the way, as magnificent as the human brain is, and it is quite magnificent, it is nevertheless constricted in one particular way. It is limited to the data that it has been able to gather since its inception, that is, since the mind and the brain evolved biologically as part of the living human being. And it has gathered an enormous amount of data from those earliest moments without question, but not all of the data that there exists in the universe. Therefore, what we notice is that unless we get out of our mind and literally expand our database to include possibilities of things that we had never heretofore experienced, imagined, or been told about, unless we can expand our data bank to provide understandings that would enhance and increase our awareness of actual reality and the actual truth and the ultimate reality, rather than simply the data that we've observed through the living of our own lives and what we've gathered from other people, unless we do that, we're going to be extremely limited in the way we experience and create our present-day reality. Therefore, the book invites us to change everything. When everything changes, change everything about the way you gather data and use the data that you have gathered, and change the data from which you are drawing your inferences and understandings about life. That is, expand your data bank to include data that has been gathered and could only possibly be gathered by the soul, which has been gathering data a lot longer than the mind. Again, the mind has been gathering data since its inception, but the soul has been gathering data throughout all of eternity, from the beginning until now and even forevermore. Therefore, if we can find a way to access the wisdom, the clarity, the understanding, the perception, and the perspective of the soul, we will enhance the living of our lives in such a way that we will hardly recognize ourselves and how we are moving through life. And every mystic has encouraged us to do that. What I've just described to you has been, in fact, the invitation of every mystic and every religion. Access the data of the soul. Come from your highest spiritual place, and your life will change overnight. Ah, but how to do that? The book, I think, fairly describes exactly how that can be done.
One of the suggestions you make in the book is to declare whatever is going on as being good. And that is something I know old masters have had, you know, a positioning on for a long time. And, of course, there's been many stories that have been written through the years. But when you look at what's going on and someone would say, how can it be good if I just lost $10 million because of someone like Madoff? How can it be good when we have soldiers dying on a field? How can it be good when my child is in the hospital and it is suffering and there's nothing I can do? How can that be good? And yet there is good. It is part of life. There is that is existing and happening in that very moment, even with the tragedy that brings blessings of its own kind. And I'm not trying to fantasize or make anything up here. It's a phenomena that really is hard sometimes to see. Talk about that for a moment, Neil.
Well, if we look upon the event, the child in the hospital, the loss of life in war, the terrible financial disaster, people who were involved with a person such as Madoff, if we observe those events and the other events of our lives, again, through the prism of the data of the mind, the question has only one answer. It's not good. How can it be good? It's not good. Because the mind compares it to the only data that it has, and there's no way that comparison can come out making the data look good. Again, we would have to look at those events from the perspective of the soul. We would have to literally raise our consciousness, raise our awareness, and reside in the wisdom of the soul in order for us to create a context within which such a thing as people dying in war or a young child in the hospital and so forth could possibly be considered conceptually as good or beneficial at some level. Excuse me. However, if we go to that level of the soul, it is conceivable that we might be able to see, for instance, how, let's use one of those examples, how a young child at the soul level may in fact have entered into a contract, a sacred spiritual pact with other souls with which it is dealing, perhaps parents as an example. And the soul could have said, I'll tell you what, I will allow myself to become seriously ill, maybe even die, maybe even leave the body and die, as a means this time around for you, Mom, and you, Dad, to move through an experience that allows you to express and come to know a part of yourself that you could never have expressed and come to know any other way. I will, in fact, literally die so that you can live in a larger, and that's why, in a larger way, and that's why I, in fact, have come to your life. Consider the possibility that that's, in fact, why I came to your life. Now, you might think, what a far-fetched thing to say. Oh, what a terribly far-fetched thing to say. But that's, in fact, exactly what many people and many souls have done. Most notably in Western culture, we think of the soul known as Jesus Christ, who came to do exactly that. He said, in fact, I will die right here and now so that you might know who you really are. I will give up my life, realizing that life cannot actually be given up at all, but I will give up this particular earthly incarnation for a very particular and significant reason. And if you watch carefully what I'm doing and listen to why I'm telling you I'm doing it, you will deeply understand both the sacrifice I am making and the benefit to you.
Neil, your book has a lot of wonderful information in it. As you say, towards the end of the book, we're all in this moment of change together, and that is the truth. And it is something that is shifting very quickly, very rapidly. Neil Donald Walsh, when everything changes, change everything. And today's times, yes, they are tumultuous, but there is a way to find a sense of peace in your life. Neil, you gave the website of changingchange.net. And what is your website otherwise if people wanted to check out information on you and your books and all of the things that you're doing?
they can simply go to my initials, Neil Donald Walsh, which would be ndwhome.com. ndwhome.com will take you to my homepage where they can learn more about my particular work and what I'm doing in the world.
Wonderful. Neil, it's been a delight having you again as a guest on the show. I wish you continued success, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to do the program with us today.
Well, what a lovely invitation, and what a nice time I had being with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Neil. Neil Donald Walsh, when everything changes, change everything. It works. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are open if you would like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I would be delighted to do it. Now, here are the toll-free numbers for you to call in to 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, that's our worldwide number, so anybody can call in on that telephone number. So all I need from you is your first name or initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling from. And then let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything you like. Now, yesterday I mentioned that I was going to start telling you about the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. For those of you who are listening in the state of Washington, I have 10 free family day passes, 10 free family day passes that are available. Now, the Renaissance Fair is going to be at the Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington, and it's the first three weekends in August. This is a fabulous opportunity. So if you would like to go to this event, and all you need to do is send me an email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, mention BBS Radio, and say, I heard that you're giving away free passes, because I'm going to be giving away a couple of passes a week. So this is an opportunity for you to take the entire family. This one ticket will get you into an event that is incredibly wonderful. And again, it's the first three weekends in August. I'm going to be there. Just look for the booth that has the bright yellow banners with the glorious red lions on them. And this, again, is in Buckley, Washington. And so you can go to Washington Ren Faire, and it's Washington, RENFAIRE.com, and you will go and see everything that's there. So if you'd like to win a free pass, send me an email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Put in there the in your subject line, say the Donna Sebo Show and Ren Faire, and then put your information in there. Give me a contact number so I can call you, and we can make sure that this pass, you'll be able to get it. So again, I'm going to be giving away two free passes a week. And again, August is just around the corner. I mean, the way these days pass, it just seems like before we know it, we blink and they're gone. Also, I wanted to let you know, the email is a little bit slow going out. I had planned on sending it out yesterday, but I found that I was having to wait on some information regarding a very special guest that we are going to be having this month. So that newsletter is going to be a little bit late in getting out, but that's okay. Everything is going to be set up and ready to go, and it'll be going out this evening, and that's going to be the July newsletter. And if you want to have a copy, all you'll have to do is go into my website and see a copy of that, and then you can also send me an email if you'd like for me to send you a copy. Again, send it to the email address, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Well, Elise Day has a wonderful attitude about summer, and I just really like her words because it just sounds just like where I am right now. Grass newly mown, flowers trimmed and watered, a lawn chair and a tall glass of lemonade. This is the season at its sunburst best. Oh, isn't that the truth? When the temps get warm, we've got balmy temperatures here in the Pacific Northwest right now, at least in my area of the state of Washington. A gentle breeze is blowing, and you don't want to be in the house. You want to be outside. Oh, my goodness, it's so glorious. Monarch butterflies, hummingbirds. I mean, it's just absolutely wonderful to see all of the activity of nature in summer. So whatever you do, I know so many of you have jobs that you have to go to, but for heaven's sakes, get outside. Enjoy the beauty that summer brings. And you don't need to get burned to a crisp to enjoy it. All you have to do is just get out and move around and just take a deep breath and enjoy Mother Nature's display of her magnificence. It's absolutely wonderful. Now, if you have a place and you're saying, gee, Donna, you're talking about hummingbirds. I mean, we have, in our backyard, we get pileated woodpeckers. We can hear them going brrr in the trees in our neighborhood. And we have all kinds of birds, stellar jays, you name it, we've got them. And what attracts them into our particular neighborhood is that we have so much natural environment around that they can feel comfortable and at home in. Well, maybe you live in an apartment and you just go, well, what am I going to do? I'm in this apartment, there's nothing there. Well, if you have a little balcony, you know that birds will find bird feeders just about everywhere. And they will come to where you are. And here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a little bird called the pygmy nuthatcher. And they're just little tiny things, but it's more fun to watch them. Birds are fascinating. So go to your local nursery and talk about the types of birds that you would like to attract into your environment, whatever is perhaps common in your part of the country or the world, and see what you can do to encourage those creatures to come around and to bless you with their presence, because they are fascinating to watch. They really, really are. hang up a birdhouse. You'll find that it's going to really make a difference. Now, I found out something that at Amazon.com, there's recordings of birds sold at music stores as well as at Amazon. So wherever you are, if you enjoy that warbling sound, whatever's your favorite, you can do that. And you know what? I really got a chuckle about this piece of information that came across my desk. Classical music being played for the lawn? Mm-hmm. Yes, especially Bach. Why? Don't ask me why. I'm not the researcher that came up with this. But there's studies that have been done that say if you play classical music, it stimulates plant growth by a whopping 65%. And if you listen to it outside, grass loves it. Who knew? Play a little music, everything gets greener and is healthier. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Well, I want to let you know who's coming on tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Lorraine Rowe, and she is the Psychic Housewife. This is a fun book to read. This is a book that has a good sense of humor scattered throughout it. But more than anything else, she shares how she developed her own intuitive skills. So if that's of interest to you, you're going to find Lorraine quite a lovely lady to listen to. Next week, we have got a power-packed week. On Monday, we're going to be talking with two women, Wendy and June, about how you can, through six steps, convert your website so that visitors that come into it will want to buy whatever you're wanting to sell on your website. Now, what is it that you're selling on your website? Maybe you're a speaker. Maybe you've got products or services that you want people to know about. Well, these two ladies are pretty dynamic, and I'm really excited about having them on the air. So we're going to be talking with them on Monday. Then we're going to be talking with Brett Salisbury, and he's put out a book called The Transform Diet. Now, I will tell you, I am not excited about diets at all. This is not something that is a subject matter I get, you know, really woo-hoo about. Not at all. Because I have been on so many diets throughout my life, it's not even funny, and I literally dislike the word diet. However, when I got Brett's material and I was reading it, I thought, this is interesting. So I talked to my husband, and I said, what if we try this and see if what happens? Well, my husband ended up dropping 13 pounds in 1 week, and I've dropped 5. I know, we women always have the slower time. It's just absolutely disgusting. But he was stunned. Now, he was complaining through the whole process because it really required some changing on his part. But he's feeling good, and he said, I am just astonished. I've never had, even when I starve myself, I never had. Well, we're eating 5 meals a day. And if you want to know more about this, you'll want to hear this on Tuesday. The Spiritual Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, Paul Rademacher. This is a marvelous man. His story is so touching, and it is so insightful. And Paul is the director of the Monroe Institute in Virginia. And then we'll be talking with a wonderful man, Mark Lindemer, about wedding receptions and having perfection with them. He is a specialist that deals with this and has a lot of answers. So this can really be insightful. And then Dr. Janine Talty, Indigo Awakening. Indigo Awakening. This is an awareness of the fact that this is not just with children, but there are many adults that have a high level of sensitivity. How can you recognize this and how can you utilize it? Well, we'll be talking with Dr. Janine Talty and learning more about it. So we have a phenomenal lineup of guests next week, and I do hope that you will join us because it is going to be very interesting, to say the least, and be sure and tell your friends. Donna Sebo here. Before we go on break, if you'd like to give me a call, here's the toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we'll be ready to take your call. Lines are open. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good information coming. Stay tuned.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. So many times when we have situations that affect us and they can flip our lives and our conditions unexpectedly, we don't always know exactly how to resolve them. Problem solving is a skill that we have to learn, and it comes from experiences, and if we're adapted in a way to make it okay to shift and to change, and I know we were talking with Neil Donald Walsh earlier, it makes it easier for us to do this. Well, there was a particular company. It's called the EPIC Divers and Marine Company. And in the early 1990s, they had a very, very critical crisis hit them. And she said, it's how you deal with it. And when I say she, I'm talking about a Julie Rodriguez. Julie took over her dad's firm, EPIC, and when she did, the work involved repairing underwater pipelines serving the oil industry in the Gulf of Mexico. She learned on the job. There was no college course available on how to do this. It was hands-on learning all the way down the line. She developed habits where she would listen to people, not just her coworkers, but she listened to the clients of her dad's company and also to various experts that had been in the business for a long time. Now, this company, under her guidance, has really grown and had become quite successful. But in 1994, there was a very tragic work accident. A driver was killed while he was working on a loose underwater pipeline. Now, when this accident happened, it really put them, one, very much in public view, and two, it created a lot of fear. Their work is a specialty line of work, and there's very, very stiff competition in doing it. So the stress with this situation was just incredible. And she just kept agonizing, wondering even if it was worth going through all of this stress. But she said, nope, we've got to deal with this, and we've got to handle it accordingly. Now, her company had always been very much interested in safety, but she decided the commitment to safety had to be intensified. So what she started doing was interacting with her employees, some of them divers, and she said before they would go on a job, they discussed what the safety needs were, what special procedures perhaps would have to be developed or refined due to whatever job they were doing, and also what was the best equipment possible that they could get, the best safety equipment that is needed. That's what we're going to have. We're not going to try to be cheap on this. And the divers were encouraged to do something, and that was to communicate more with each other during each job so that if there was any hint of danger, people would pay attention. So instead of working with an isolationist type of an attitude, the divers, their assistants, they all had to realize as a team how every single one of them was very, very important. And then any incidents that did come up had to be documented, discussed with the divers, and added to the safety and training manual. Now, this kind of attention to detail made a tremendous difference with the company. The company now has high safety ratings from major customers, which would be Chevron, Texaco, ExxonMobil, and other such companies. And because of their involvement with Hurricane Katrina, working with people, dealing with things from a point of objective reality, it made such a difference with them. So the point is, things happen to us, regardless of how they happen. It's what we do with them that makes a difference. How can you take something that can be so sad, so tragic, so bad, so concerning? What can you do with it that's going to put you into a positioning of personal empowerment? When you can learn to look at life that way and say, all right, this has happened to me. How do I make this work better? What am I going to do to be able to make a shift? And you interact with people who are going to be supportive of that type of thinking. You are going to have a winning combination that is going to move you forward, not backwards. That is the big difference. When you look at people that have rebounded from really, really unusual, harsh situations, often you'll find they said, I had to think differently. I had to do something differently. And it just seems to be a part of the human experience. So the best thing I know to say about this is to just be willing to learn. Be open and receptive, and don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. You need to be inquisitive, and you need to be willing. You need to be willing to deep down within yourself, dig up and dig out that strength that is really there within you, because it is. You've got it. No questions about that whatsoever. And there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to life, its experiences, and to maybe the dreams that you aspire to have. There's always going to have to be that effort and energy put out. Donna Sebo here, and before we close out, I wanted to share something with you. I have in front of me a picture that is from a very, very ancient art gallery. And this was something by, it's a photo, actually, by Raphael Binari. And people have looked at this, and they just are not quite sure exactly what it is, but they assume that it's a depiction of a woman giving birth. This particular decoration inside a cave is, There's literally hundreds of them, and they're carvings that are inside these caves in Timna Valley in Israel. Now, the site, it's now desert, but once it was lush and very, very green. It apparently includes some of the world's oldest copper mines and was exploited by the Romans and ancient Egyptians, among other people. And they're suspecting, they're not sure, they're suspecting that this carving may have been a part of an Egyptian temple to a goddess of fertility and mining that ended up being destroyed. It's been around a long time, so they're still trying to figure out what it is. We humans have a patterning of a repetition. It goes on and on and on. And the awareness of change is something that many times, as Neil Donald Walsh said, we will fight because we're afraid of it. But when we can learn how to grow and flow with that change, then you're going to discover something about your life and about your experience that's going to be beyond what you ever would have expected. And it's that sense of adventure, that sense of enthusiasm about the unknown that is going to make you a much richer person. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be saying goodbye in just a moment, but I wanted to say, remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul, and I'm sure that you're getting ready for the 4th of July weekend, which, oh my goodness, it's coming just around the corner. And so many of you are going to be taking time off. This is going to be a long holiday weekend for a lot of people. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, take your time, don't be in a hurry, and have fun, because this is a wonderful, wonderful holiday. And, of course, this year, being on a Saturday, there are so many more people that are going to be able to enjoy it. Donna Sebo here. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. And tomorrow, it's with the Psychic Housewife. Be well, be happy, and I'll talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.